Quick reminder while I'm getting everything going up here. Our offering time has changed. We have our offering plates over at the table, so on your way in or out, you can leave your offerings and tithes, whatever the Lord leads you to leave with us. It's the way we're doing it to limit our contact with one another, so just know that. Matthew chapter 14 this morning, as we continue. I think last week we talked about some suffering and talked about some faith. We talked about the Christian life as far as that is concerned and how we can exercise our faith in the times of hardship. And I think today, I remember the first time I came here to preach for this church, I preached on this same scripture. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the same sermon, so just know that. But it's the same scripture, all right? So while you're looking up Matthew chapter 14, I may have told some of y'all, or maybe I've told all of y'all a story. This I call it a story, but it's actually a real thing. It happened. Myself and the man that was here preaching revival this past fall were in Galveston on a mission trip. Well, we were on a mission trip, and then we went to Galveston to go fishing. And we didn't want to spend any money, so we decided we were going to camp out on the beach. All right. So we go over there, and we don't have a tent or nothing. We're just going to, we had a tarp, and we decided we were going to build, put the tarp against my pickup truck and build like a lean-to just to keep the weather off of us if it started raining. Should have been, everything should have been fine with that plan, except for the fact that there was a tropical storm coming through that particular day. When we arrived in Galveston, we showed up on the beach, and there were, it wasn't full, but there were plenty of people out there fishing and walking around on the beach. And around about late afternoon, supper time, people started disappearing from the beach. It wasn't dark yet. They just started leaving. And I'm kind of the one that realizes that, you know, if a whole bunch of other people around you are, like, doing something, you might need to take note of why they're doing it. Right? So, however, my buddy, my preacher friend, Kurt, he doesn't think that way. He just kind of does what he's planning to do. So there was one or two guys way down the beach, and I think they were over there fishing or something, and we were busy building our lean-to. We were like, everything's going to be just fine. What's the worst that could happen, right? So next thing I know, we get this lean-to. We worked a long time. We built up a bunch of sand around the truck. We tried to block the air from coming up under the truck. We had it real nice, actually. But it wasn't going to last, not because the wind was blowing by then. And it was coming through pretty good. It wasn't hardly raining yet. The guy comes walking down the beach, and he's holding this bag about yay big, long, and it's, you know what a tent looks like when it's in a bag. And that's what he was carrying, and I seen him coming, and I knew what he was doing. He was coming down the beach to give us a tent to use because he saw us camping on the beach. And he got about halfway to us. He wasn't in earshot yet, and I looked at Kurt, and I'm like, he's bringing that tent down here to give it to us to use. And Kurt's like, I'm not using it. I worked hard on this lean. I said, you better use that tent. You know, the Lord's giving it to you. You better use that tent. So we had this short argument, and by the time the man got here, he reluctantly took the tent from the guy. And the guy says, you guys might need this, and you're going to stay here all night. And we told him what we were doing and all that because we had a fishing trip going the next morning. And so we popped a tent up, and reluctantly we used the tent. And it's probably a good thing because all night the wind was blowing and the rain was coming sideways on the beach. Probably should have found another place to stay. However, I'm laying in this tent, and literally, y'all, the tent is like the air is being sucked out of it. And then it comes back out, and then it comes back in, and it comes back out. That's what it was like all night. I know because I didn't sleep. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, what, the only thing holding this tent down is me and him. That's the only thing holding the tent down. And the whole time, my buddy's over there, he's sleeping through the whole thing. Just sleeping through the whole thing. And at one time, I woke him up. I'm like, dude, there is a storm out here. How are we going to be sleeping in the middle of this storm? We got to get out of here. And he was like, it'll be fine. We'll be all right. So I rode back over, and then the sun started to come up, and all the hard wind was going away, but it was still really hard rain, and you couldn't see anything. So in the rain, we packed everything up, put it back in the truck, and I get in the truck, and the windshield wipers are going like as fast as they can go, like this here. And I still couldn't see the front of my truck. So I'm driving. I got to drive off of the beach onto the road so that we can meet up with our fishing trip that we still think we're going to take, which we did, by the way. So I'm driving, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I'm driving into the ocean or if I'm driving just down the beach or if I'm actually going to find a way to the road. Obviously, you know the answer because I'm standing here. Well, we're driving. I finally get to the road. We go to the laundromat so we can get someplace that has a bathroom and get dry clothes on and get ready for our fishing trip. So we go there, and then we go to the place and go to this fishing trip. And then they said they weren't going to cancel the fishing trip because they already got our money and they don't want to give us our money back. So we go out fishing on this storm, right? So we caught fish, too. I got pictures of them in my office if you want to see them. So the reason I'm telling you this story is because sometimes the storm is so loud and violent and dark that you can't help but look at it. You can't help but focus on the storm. That was me that night. All I knew was the tent was coming in, coming out. And one thing was going to happen or another. The ocean was going to come up and swallow us, and we were going to be out to sea. Or the wind was going to blow something into us, and that was going to be the end of it. That's where I was in my mind all night. Did not get a lick of sleep. All right. Now we're going to another storm in chapter 14 of Matthew. Because I want to share something with you that we can learn from, I hope, maybe in today's world, in our lives today, because all of us have a lot of troubles from time to time, storms in life, right? Maybe we all share the same storm like we do with the virus and all of the different things going on in the world. Maybe there's just a storm that's affecting you and your family, but not many around you. You know, some people go through life without Christ. They don't know God. Right? They don't have a relationship with the Lord. They either have rejected him or just flat out don't understand what it's about, what the kingdom of God is about. And they live this life that we're living, and they don't know God. And they have no resource whatsoever to get them through what needs to get through. Now, you think about that story I just told you. Two preachers sleeping on the beach during a tropical storm. Right? One didn't get any sleep and the other one slept like a baby. So here they are, immediately, verse 22 of chapter 14, the disciples and Jesus having this interaction and something great happens. We all know the story, I hope, but we're going to go through it again. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But, verse 24, the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And it wasn't just a breeze, y'all. This was a bad storm going on, and these guys were trying to get this boat to the other side of the lake there. Right, the sea, and they were working against the wind. The wind was working against them, and they had been out there several miles away, and they are tired, and they're weak, frustrated, trying to figure out what in the world is going on, and why are we doing this, right? Just put yourself in that boat for just a moment. Here, just think about what all had happened. Jesus found out that John the Baptist was killed. And after that, Jesus feeds 5,000 people miraculously. And then if you read in, I think it's John chapter 6, verse 15-ish, we can read this, where John describes where the people wanted to make Jesus their king. So Jesus is trying to get rid of this crowd because it's not time for him. It's not time for him to be in such a position. So he went off to pray. He tried to get by himself, which Jesus often did. We should take note of that. The point is, the disciples were in the boat alone at this point, right? They're 3 or 4 miles out, and this strong headwind is coming at them, and they're trying to work in it, work to it. If you've ever tried to paddle a boat into the wind, you know that it's not the easiest thing in the world. And I can imagine, just imagine if you're in this boat with these guys, and you're having these discussions, maybe we should just go back. Maybe we should just give up and just turn around and let the wind blow us back and just tell Jesus we can't do it. Right? There's that thought. Or maybe we just keep going because we're fishermen. We should be able to handle this. Right? There had to be a mix of emotions there. There had to be a mix. And I think that in our hearts and in our minds, I think there's always a mix of emotion in the middle of storms. Is this worth it? Whatever this is. Why am I here? Whatever, wherever here is. Why is this happening to me? Whatever this is, right? All the storms of life come down to the same emotions, don't they? Frustration, fear, anxiety, sometimes a deeper faith in the Lord, hopefully. So that takes us to verse 25, right? Where we can read what I call the corner of faith and doubt. And oftentimes in our life, we will come across this intersection. You can't avoid it. It's not avoidable. You can't go around the block and miss it. You can't turn around and go back and miss it. It's always going to be there, no matter where you're traveling in life, no matter where your life has taken you, the corner of faith and doubt. Okay, so verse 25 says, during the fourth watch of the night, this was like the very last, like almost daybreak, coming up on daybreak, Jesus went out to them. But it wasn't daybreak, but it was almost daybreak. And he's walking on the lake. Now, everybody who reads this story or tells about this account or talks about Peter walking on the water with Jesus, it's always about Peter and Jesus walking on the water, which is pretty cool. It's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? Jesus himself, God, in the flesh, walking on the water. And then Peter, this guy, also walking on the water. I don't know if that's really what this story is about, is it? I don't really know if that's really what the focus is. Or at least one of the focuses. So he's going out on the lake. He's just walking out there. Verse 26 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Now, remember, these guys have been working hard. They're trying to get some momentum to get where they got to go. They're fighting nature, right? You're not gonna win against a storm. Not in the flesh, you're not. And these guys have been doing it probably for 6 to 12 hours because when they were sent out, it was the early time in the night, the first watch of the night. This is the fourth watch of the night. It's split up. The Romans have split it up into four watches. This is the end of the evening. And they're tired, they're wore out, and they're frustrated. And I don't know about y'all. Now, don't look at your neighbor if you know the answer to this about your neighbor. But when you get tired and wore out, we're just not pleasant to be around. Right? Trust me. I've been on some trips with some church folk that are great people most of the time, but we're all getting tired, and then suddenly all the niceties fall off. And we're all just like, just leave me alone, don't talk to me. Right? That's just the way it is when you get tired. You just don't have it in you to be the pleasant person that you really are because you're at the end of what you have in the tank. You don't have any more. They're tired. They're frustrated. They're mad. They're angry because they're fighting this storm and they should be able to get through it. But it's actually a pretty big storm and they've been doing it for 6 to 12 hours sometime in that period. And then here comes Jesus, this looks like a ghost to them, walking out on the water, and they're like, what now is going to happen to us? That has to be what they're thinking. It's like, oh, they might have thought it was some ghost or some other thing that was coming to do harm to them. Because when you're tired like that, you don't think logically. Almost every time I've lost an argument with my wife, it's because I'm tired. I'm just playing. We'll finish that one later, I'm sure. So here he comes walking on the water, and I can't even imagine what he would have looked like to them walking on the water, just Jesus. Like, you spend all this time with Jesus walking around the world, right? And then suddenly you're out there and you're tired and it's dark, and then here he comes walking on the water and they don't recognize him. They don't see him. Because the storm is bigger and louder and demanding their attention so much that they can't recognize Jesus. Because all they're seeing is the storm. All they're seeing is the hardship. All they're seeing is the suffering. And they can't recognize Jesus. So they begin to be fearful. They begin to let fear drive their decision making. Verse 27 says, Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Isn't it great to know that even when we get to the end of ourselves and we cannot instantly exercise our faith and our trust in God, that he still lets us know who he is. And he still says, "Don't be afraid." And he still loves us anyway. Isn't it great? Because there's a lot to be afraid of sometimes. There's a lot to be fearful of. There's a lot to be worried about. There's a lot to be anxious about in the world. Doesn't matter how your life is going. There are things that are just bigger than you. And they will demand your attention. And we have to be able to recognize Jesus. And I thank God that he cries out back to me and says, "It is me. It's just me." Right? No, let's not be too hard on ourselves because we're missing Jesus in the middle of the storm. He's going to let you know. Verse 28 says, he says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And it's always puzzled me why he's like, if it's you. Like, he didn't believe it was him. Right? And maybe he didn't. Maybe he was iffy. He was like, looks like Jesus. Right? But I don't remember Jesus walking on water. Right? And I remember Jesus telling us to go on, and he was going to come later. Is this the way he's doing it? I mean, nobody's ever seen anybody walk on water like that. So, of course, he's going to say, if it's you, right? But I think there's something bigger there that we need to notice about Peter. He believed in the middle of this storm, which was swallowing up his attention, his focus. All he could see was the danger and the near-death experience that they were living in. And he's just like, I can't tell. If it's you, just tell me. If it really is you, just tell me to come. And I don't know about y'all, but that is one of the statements in the Bible that I think is the most obvious display of trust in Jesus that I've seen. He's not saying anything other than, if you are Jesus, then I can do what you tell me to do. Not to mention, he's like, if Jesus is over there, even if Jesus is out there, because like in the boat is the safe place in this storm, isn't it? Wouldn't y'all think? Y'all are probably wondering, why didn't you just get in the truck during that storm, right? I was wondering the same thing all night. But it's like in the boat was the safe place. So why would Peter want to be out of the boat at all? Unless he knew that Jesus was out there. And he's just saying, if it's really you, I want to be where you're at. Think about that, y'all. In the storms of your life, when the world comes crashing down, the Christian needs to cry out, "Lord, wherever you are, that's where I want to be in this storm. Whatever you're doing, that's what I want to do in the middle of this storm. In the middle of whatever this is that's way bigger than I am, I want to be where you are." What did I just read? Verse 28, yeah. So then verse 29, Jesus says, "Okay, you want to be with me? Come on. Bring it, Peter. Get out here." I think that some people might, if you're going to just imagine Jesus in that moment, some people might say, Jesus, like, "Oh, this is going to be great. Let's see how this works out." But then here's what I believe. I think Jesus was so excited about Peter's faith. I think Jesus was like, "Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's the proper response. That's a person who I can work with. Then Peter got down out of the boat, finishing verse 28, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Right? So then immediately, verse 31, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And it's always troubled me. It's always troubled me about this statement that Jesus says to Peter. Because Peter is the only one out of all them guys that stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water with our Lord. And yet, Jesus looks at him and he's like, "You of little faith." I want to believe that when Jesus said that to him, he didn't say it in a condemning or condescending way, like he did something wrong. Right? I remember when my son would do stuff he thought he knew how to do when he was young. And he wouldn't take nobody else's advice or anybody else's help. So you have to just stand back and let him do whatever it is he's going to do. And when it's over with, you're just like, "Silly boy." you should have known that wasn't going to work, but you had to do it your own way anyway. I think that's kind of maybe what Jesus was looking at Peter saying, "You of little faith, get up, come here, let's do this again." And then guess what? Whenever he pulled him back out of that water, they had to get back to the boat, didn't they? So guess what? Peter's walking on the water again with Jesus, arm in arm, to the boat. Isn't that great? I would love to have been a witness to that. So he got out of the boat, and he's kind of, everybody thinks he failed, but he really didn't fail. He just kind of learned some things. And he says, "Why did you doubt?" Well, I want to know what you think the answer to that question. Why do you think that Peter doubted? Here's a hint. The answer is right there in that verse, or the verse before it. It says he looked around and he noticed the storm. He looked around and he saw the threat, the thing that he was afraid of to start with, the thing that's bigger than him and demanding, screaming out for his attention. The storm was like, "Look at me, I'm going to kill you if you don't look at me." Because none of us want to be surprised by death. Think about it. Every one of us is going to die. Every life that has ever existed and will ever exist ends in a slow hearse ride down the road. Right? But we don't want to be surprised by that. We don't want no sudden danger to take us by surprise, because what? Maybe we're not ready. Maybe we're afraid of the process by which we might leave this world. Maybe some people might think that they're never going to die, which is foolish. Whatever the case is, the storm is screaming out at the very thing that we're afraid of. And Jesus is saying, if you just keep your eyes right here and focus on me, I'll handle the rest of that. You will walk on the water in the middle of those storms. And let me say something, y'all. When the people in the world who aren't saved see Christians walking on the water, so to speak, they're in the middle of the storms of their life, they will see Jesus in you when you're walking on the water with Jesus. When you're walking above the storms of life, hand in hand with the Lord, in faith, in complete trust that He is Lord, people will see Jesus and you will not live in fear because you have peace and hope. Isn't that great, y'all? I'm preaching to myself and everybody else in this room and anybody else online, because every single one of us right now are living through some large storms going on in this world. I'm not even going to go down the list, because you know what they are. See, Peter believed in the storm. In the middle of the storm, he believed. But also in the middle of his doubt, he believed. Did you catch it when we read through? In the middle of his doubt, what happened? He said, Jesus, save me. Even in the middle of his doubt, when he was at the crossroads of faith and doubt, he had some choices to make. And his mind and everything in his being was saying, take the doubt road. But his faith and in his heart, he knew that faith was the right road. And he cried out to God, help me take the right road. And of course, God was faithful. Jesus was faithful in answering him. He says, why did you doubt? We already know why he doubted. All right, let's go to verse 32 real quick. Here's the rest of it. He says, 31 says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand, okay? And then he says in verse 32, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Please do not miss what's happening in this particular part of whenever Jesus and Peter climbed back in the boat. And we're not talking about a little John boat. It's a pretty good sized fishing boat, right? So you have to climb back in. Unless you're Jesus, then you just kind of get in, you know. But once they got in the safety zone, the safe zone, what people would consider the safe zone, what happened? All of what was threatening the faith of people stopped. You see, God is Lord over everything. Jesus is our Savior. He is God in the flesh. He has the authority of the Father. And if the Spirit of God is living in you, then that same authority is in you. So that when the storms of life come about, and they're way bigger than you are, it's that same authority that's going to calm that storm. And you will be walking over that storm as if it's not even there. I'm not saying it will go away completely. I'm not saying that God will just make everything cotton candy and barbecue. I'm just not going to say that because I know it's not true. But as long as God allows the storm to go on because he is in charge, he will allow me to walk with him above it in peace. As much as it affects me. As long as I cannot be distracted by the storm and stay focused on him and who I am in him, I can experience what Peter experienced. So can you. And so can anyone else who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Isn't that amazing, y'all? And I can tell you this, y'all. We have so much in this world that's demanding our attention and calling us to be anything other than Christian in response. It's constantly knocking on the doors of our hearts and our minds, the storms of life, waiting to devour us spiritually. Waiting to bring us down and make us tremble in our feet, even though Jesus is right there. And if we stay focused on the wrong things, we will lose sight of Jesus. And we will be afraid and we will live in fear. But that's not what Jesus died for. That's not why he let himself be hung on the cross and beaten and spit on. It's not why God raised him from the dead. So that all of that happened so that you and I can have the peace knowing that Jesus is real, knowing that Jesus is Lord, and knowing that there is peace to be had in the middle of the storms. I don't know about y'all, but I need it. Notice he says, as I try to finish this up, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. In verse 33, it says, then those who were in the boat worshipped him. Because if they didn't do this, If those other 11 fellas did not do what it says they just did, then they would have completely missed out. Because they didn't get to walk on the water because they stayed in the boat. They could have followed Peter. When Peter jumped out of the boat, they could have followed right behind him and experienced the same thing. But they didn't. They were too afraid. Or whatever other reasons they may have had. But when Jesus gets in the boat with them, they acknowledged him. They rightfully worshiped him. One, because they saw him walking on the water. Two, because they saw Peter walking with him. Three, because they saw Peter get rescued by him. Then they saw Peter walking with him again. Then they saw him get in the boat and the storm died down. Not to mention the 5,000 people that were fed with almost no food. Just right before all of this happened. Of course you're going to worship him if you're paying attention. Did y'all know that even though there's a virus going on and all kind of civil unrest in the world right now, even though things aren't the way we like them, people are still getting saved? Did y'all know that? God is still having his way and people are still getting saved and the gospel is still going out? This storm that we think is so big, and it is for us, but is nothing to God. All of the storms put together throughout history is nothing to God. Why should we be afraid? Then he says, they worshiped him. They were saying, truly you are the Son of God. I would have loved to have been in that boat that day. You want to talk about a worship service, y'all? I don't know about y'all, but I missed y'all being here. And I can't wait for the rest of them to be able to come. Because when we get together and worship, that's what it should be like. We should be so excited that we have a Savior that's bigger than anything we could ever bring in here and put on the prayer list. And he should be worshipped because he truly is God. Isn't that great, y'all? And I hope that when we leave today, we walk out into a world and take a big, deep breath of the air that God created to give us and say, God is great. Knowing that there's a storm raging all around us, trying to devour us, trying to steal us away from what Jesus died for. It's your decision, my decision, how we're going to live in this storm. You can get out of the boat, walk with Jesus in the middle of the storms of today. You can stay in the boat and worship Jesus in the middle of the storms today. Or you can just focus on the storm. And never call out to Jesus and never be saved. Storms are big and scary. It's hard not to focus on them. It's a daily battle. It's almost an hourly battle to not focus on the storms of life. But truly, Jesus is the Son of God. Truly, Jesus died so that we could be saved from the fear that comes with sin. The fear that comes from the wickedness of Satan and his realm. Jesus didn't die so that we could live in fear. Jesus didn't die so that we could be bound by the storms of life. Jesus died so that we could be free. Whatever happens, whatever discouragement, whatever fears, whatever anxieties, whatever is raging and calling for your attention away from God, I'm hoping that you will call on Jesus. And I'm hoping we will take the road of faith and deter from the road of doubt. Jesus said, take courage. So until whatever storms are going on calm down, I would say that Jesus wants us to take courage. Look it right in the eye and say, Jesus is Lord. I love you and the Lord loves you. If you're not saved, then now's the time to be saved. Now's the time. Here's what happens. You either believe or you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. That means that Jesus is the Son of God, came in the flesh, and was murdered because we have offended God. That's the gospel message. If we believe that, we're to repent from being offenders of God. Stop offending God. Stop living a life that rejects God. That's what repentance is. And the Bible tells us to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the point in which God chooses to forgive our sins, because there's fruit from our faith. And then he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful gift. Will get us through any storm for as long as God gives us days. Because there will be a slow ride in a hearse for all of us in the end. But it's going to be great, because one day we'll be with the Lord and there will be no tears, no storms, no fears, no anxieties, because Jesus is Lord. If you have a decision to make, let's do that. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you're online and you have a decision to make, you can call me on the phone or you can drive down here. You can find me or somebody that goes to this church and we will help you. Because we don't know if we have tomorrow. Let's sing a song together. Let's make some choices together.